listening to Reality Wrap. I'm your host, Melanie. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into Reality Wrap. I have Mr. Sean with me today.
Hey everyone, how are we doing tonight?
So the Bravo world is on fire.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, just like I come upstairs from work and I'm like, what's going on? And we pretty much just said, all right, let's just do the show.
Yeah, I was busy all day today too. And then I stopped to look at Instagram and like my articles and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
No. What's going on?
I know.
So let's kind of go through them one at a time.
So let me just start and ask you a quick question. So how are our friends Jax and Brittany doing?
I was like, oh my God, yeah. So Brittany came out on a podcast today and announced that she and Jax are taking a break and that she has moved into another house temporarily. So let me go ahead and play you that clip.
So on my last podcast, I alluded to many marriages go through rocky times, but with all the speculation online and stories running rampant, I wanted to be transparent with you guys. Yes, marriages in general are very hard, and I've had a particularly rough year in mind this past year. Jax and I are taking time apart, and I made the decision to move into another home to take some space for the sake of my mental health. I won't get into too many details right now because this is still very hard to talk about, and I'm taking things one day at a time. I don't know what the future holds, but right now my focus is on being the best mom to Cruz. And I love you guys. Pray for us, and everything will be just fine.
So what do we think caused Brittany to move out?
Well,
it's actually not funny. It's kind of sad, but
yeah, let's just make that point really quick.
I mean, they do have a child together.
Love is work, and they've been together now for a while.
But he's already cheated on her once, if not more times, but once that we publicly know about. So I'd have to imagine it has something to do with
that's
that.
That's kind of the nuclear option right there.
Yeah.
Right? And so doing it once and coming back from it, I mean, that's an incredible feat for a couple to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just going to do it again, I mean, that's pretty tough. But other than that, outside of things like that or physical abuse or anything like where there really is no return, you should really try to work on it. And that's why I think it was smart that they are just separating, think things through. You know, I think that will help.
Yeah, she said for her mental health.
Yeah, mental health.
So something's eaten away at her.
So that's the first thing is I just hope, you know, Brittany's okay. And the baby's going to be okay too. And really the baby.
Yeah, Jax will be just fine, I'm sure, according to Jax. I looked at his Instagram to see if he had posted anything about it, and there's nothing on it. I have read some theories online that some people think this is all fake because of the new show that's coming out. Now, when I immediately heard about it, I thought, oh no, this is actually going to do damage to their show because they're supposed to be portraying this married, happy couple in the show, or at least that was my understanding. So now you have this coming out.
And I respectfully disagreed with that earlier because that was one of my first conclusions too, was this is fake.
Yeah.
The timing is too perfect. It's too easy for everyone to just fake this. And it's great ratings and it adds a nice wrinkle to the show.
But they have a child. And if she like moved into another house, she took the kid with her, I feel like they wouldn't do that to their child.
No, Jax just at night goes to the other house.
Maybe.
When the filming stops and everyone's in.
Well, they're not filming anymore. The season is finished filming. It is getting ready to air.
Oh. Then if they're not filming, then Jax just sleeps at the other house.
I don't know.
It's all just for show.
I would not be surprised if it was real, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't either, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was for the show. And that's kind of the interesting thing about this is, I mean, clearly the producers are willing to go to great extents to manufacture drama.
Yeah.
So would they go this far? I don't know.
Right, but
they went far enough to hire Von Deese or whatever her name was.
Oh, Monica?
Yeah.
The producers say that they did not know. They're still sticking to that story.
I don't buy it.
I don't either.
No.
Because
then they did it again.
But they're not filming right now. So why would they pretend to be separated if they're not, cameras aren't up right now?
Maybe to continue with the momentum of the show. But yeah, I think
you're
right.
Real.
I think it's probably real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we can shift gears and go back to our extensive knowledge of old Jaxie Poo. And yeah, you got to point a finger at him and go, what'd you do now, Jax?
Oh, for sure.
What did you do
now? Let me guess. It rhymes with brick and he put his in somebody else.
Yeah. Didn't he give someone a venereal disease or something like that?
I think he did. That was like a long time ago, was it? Was it Stassi?
Or I don't know. I thought that was one of the storylines, though. It was like, you know, Jax infected me or something like that.
Maybe it was Laura Lee. I do think that might have been a story.
Yeah. I don't remember. We should look that up.
Anyway, so that happened today. We also had come out today was Rachel Levis is suing Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix. Her allegation is that she claims she was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man who filmed sexually explicit videos without her knowledge or consent. She further claims that the recordings were distributed, disseminated, and discussed publicly by a scorned woman, meaning Ariana, seeking vengeance. The events led her to seek help in a facility while Bravo, Evolution, and the cast milked the interest her excoriation had piqued. Now, I had to look up what excoriation was because I didn't know what it was. And apparently, excoriation is a disorder. It is characterized by conscious, repetitive picking of the skin that leads to skin lesions and significant distress of functional impairment. Wow, I didn't know she had that. Amid the fallout, the lawsuit claims that Rachel Goes Rogue host was misled by Bravo and Evolution into believing she was contractually barred from speaking out about her mistreatment. It alleges that Levis suffered in silence as a result, while other parties involved with Scandoval reaped unseen levels of public recognition and professional opportunity. The documents continue. Meanwhile, Levis, who was humiliated and villainized for public consumption, remains a shell of her former self, with her career prospects stunted and her reputation in tatters. Well, yes, I do feel like the way she was completely dragged across social media was way over the top. But, I mean, she kind of made her bed and laid in it. You know what I mean?
If Ariana went onto Tom's phone and distributed that private data like
that. Yeah, that is true.
I don't know what the recourse is, but morally, I think you're crossing a line now. Clearly, though, Rachel already crossed the line. We've covered that. We've talked about it a million times. But I think now I've at least seen an example where Ariana has crossed the line for me.
In addition to compensatory, special, general, and consequential damages, Levis seeks that Madix and Sandoval cease distribution and destroy all copies made of the alleged explicit video. She also asks that her attorney fees be compensated and the court provide other and further relief deemed as just and proper. Are they still passing this video around? Isn't that against the law? Or is it only if, like, you're underage? Is revenge porn, like, a thing where that's against the, like, that's illegal, right?
I'm pretty sure.
If you tape somebody
and unwillingly. I'm not a lawyer.
I
didn't even play one on TV.
So that came out today.
Yeah, I can't stand Tom, so whatever. It's typical.
I know.
He is the kind of person, would record that stuff on a phone. What a just a dirtbag. On a phone!
I don't know if she says she didn't know, but how do you not know if somebody's recording you? I don't know, but the fact that...
Oh, that's easy. He just puts the phone in a spot where she's not looking.
No.
Sits it on the side.
He wasn't,
he's good,
like,
to go.
Recording her like that. She was doing it like they were FaceTiming, and he was screen recording her.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, she was doing it into the phone. He didn't, like, secretly tape her and she didn't know. She was, I think she was, like, masturbating to him while they were on, like, FaceTime or something. Or at least that's how I understood it. I don't know. The whole thing is screwed up. Nah. I have not watched this week's episode. I started recapping Vanderpump Rules and I have given up because it's just so dark. I'm like, you know what? I can't. Maybe farther down the line when they get out of, like, the whole freshness of what happened.
Maybe when they all grow up and get another show like Jax has.
You look what just happened.
But I can't wait now to see my old pal Jax screw it up again. You know what I mean? I'm ready. I've missed him. It's been like 3 or 4 seasons since I've even seen him.
Yeah.
And Sheena moved there? You said the other day.
Yeah, I think Sheena's trying to... She bought that house. She bought a house... Very close to where
she's trying to transfer over. Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it, and that's kind of where she belongs. I also wouldn't mind seeing Lala on it, because she's at that point in her life too. She has a kid.
Can Lala just get a job and get off?
She's pretty lucrative. She has a podcast. She has like.
She doesn't need housewives.
No, I mean.
She is interesting to watch, though.
Yeah, I will say out of all of not
she
all
got
of
better. Like I could.
She's
I did not
definitely
like Lala
growing
in
up
in the first couple seasons.
No.
I just
no.
But yeah, I watched a little bit of this last season with you, and I thought definitely
she seems to be moving in a forward direction. It's those while kids. Everybody else they, seems. They, yeah, they really
they,
do.
They mature the hell out of
they
you.
They make you boom, grow boom, up boom. Really fast.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously all of you have heard about how Leah McSweeney is suing Bravo, or actually she's suing Andy Cohen and Bravo for discrimination and workplace culture. She's making allegations that there were parties and drinking involved and it made it like a toxic environment for her and that she snorted coke with Andy. And I'm like, well, I mean, nobody shoved that up your nose. There are a lot of housewives that don't drink and have never drank, and they're exposed to it all the time. So I'm kind of like, eh.
I mean, was it Ramona's fault when she threw the tiki torch in the pool?
Oh, when Leah threw the tiki torch I mean, in the pool? Well, that's when she had gone off the rails.
At what point is Leah going to be an adult and be responsible for her own actions?
Well, not only that, if the culture was so bad and it was making her fall off the wagon, and she's a known addict, she's talked
why
about her.
Why did you do a second season?
Right, why did you do a second season? Why did you say you wanted to come back? And why did you do the Ultimate Girls Trip if it was so bad? If you knew you had problems and you fell off the wagon in season one, that was when we saw her throwing the tiki torch and stuff like that, and she was drunk and like she was acting crazy because she fell off the wagon. And her mom was even like, I don't want to talk to you if you're drinking. So why did she come back? I don't know. But anyways, all these other Bravo celebrities have come out in defense of Andy Cohen. Luann came out and said, you know, I can't speak for Leah. I can only say my experience. Part of the housewives is parties. And of course, there's drinking involved, but it's not like someone is forcing you to drink. I've also heard Tamra parrot this. Dorinda Medley came out in support of Andy, and so did Cynthia Bailey.
Wait. So Dorinda? Well, there you go.
She came out, and well, she's like,
yeah. Super I mean, drunk. Dorinda is probably going to Andy, going, come on, weakling, let's go.
I know. But anyways, at some point, you kind of have to hold yourself responsible for what you do. And no, I'm in a bad situation. I need to step away. And she didn't. She stayed. She came back and said she wanted to come back again. They kicked her off the show and she was mad.
My advice.
Why would she be mad if it was a toxic place?
If I was in a position to give advice, it would be to just simply say, look in the mirror and ask yourself if you're an adult and go from there.
Yeah. Anyway, so we had that happen earlier in the week, which I'm sure you guys have all heard about. And then obviously we had Brandi Glanville's lawsuit come out last week that she felt sexually violated or whatever by Andy saying something. And I'm kind of like, I don't want to like not downplay her feelings. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, I mean, you also say all kinds of terrible things. And like, look what happened with Caroline Manzo, and Caroline Manzo suing Bravo because of it. So what a mess. Bravo is on fucking fire.
I think there's a group of lawyers trying to make money, and they are just war dialing housewives trying to get them to sue at this point.
That is the general rumor, is there's a lot of stuff getting ready to come out. And so these little lawsuits, maybe they're just kind of jumping on the bandwagon. I don't know, but shit's about to go down.
Maybe. And I don't want to minimize anything anyone claims like that, but we'll wait and see on that one. Yeah, I think it's just best to listen to both sides and get the data and wait.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get to the real reason we're here today, which is our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part one recap, which aired last night. Overall, I'm going to give part one a C. And that is only because Crystal clocked in. I'm not going to cover everything that goes on in this part one because a lot of it kind of seemed like fluff or filler. I was like, eh, who cares? What would you give it overall?
I'd give it a B-.
Wow, you always grade higher than me. That's so funny.
Well, you know, I like the dresses. I thought they were nice.
Oh, okay. So let's go ahead and discuss the dresses. Now that
I thought the set was nice. I thought the set was better.
Yeah, what
than
was it supposed to be? A backyard cocktail party?
Something like that. Yeah.
It was cute. It was pretty. I had to laugh because I felt like Kyle's dress matched the AstroTurf.
You kept calling her lawn.
I was like, she looks like the lawn.
She looks like the lawn. I like the Andy suit. He's good in a dark color. I like him in dark colors. He wears gray suits all the time. He fades out with those.
Who was your favorite dress now that you've seen everybody in motion?
Favorite dress? Sutton.
Yeah, mine 100%. Too. Yeah. I did also like Crystal's. Now that we actually got to see it up close, it was pretty neat.
The thing with Crystal, though, is I've never seen Crystal dress poorly, so it's kind of become like, oh, hey, yeah, Crystal looks good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, she looked great, though. I would definitely put her in the top three for sure.
Who was your least favorite dress?
Probably Dorit, because when she came out, there's a movie called The Emperor's New Groove. And when she walked out, I could only think of the villain Yzma as she walked out. And then she started making crazy eyes. And so it was very distracting when she dressed like that for me. Because I thought her outfit was terrible.
I agree. I did not like her outfit. And that little piece of hair that was like stuck to her forehead is bugging the shit out of me. I want to remove it and fix it and put it back with the rest of her hair. She said that she was going for fashion. I think
she actually said fashion.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Yeah. No. I love the way Andy called her Hood. Was it Andy that said, "Hey, Hood"?
Love you, Andy.
Anyways, I'm jumping ahead. First, we see the ladies out in their trailers and they're getting ready. Erica goes to Dorit's trailer and Dorit shows her the text that Kyle had sent her the night before, basically saying, "Let's not bring up our issues on the reunion. Let's meet after the reunion and talk it out." And Dorit tells Erica, "You know, it's really weird considering we haven't talked for months." And then Kyle went on to that Amazon Live and really downplayed our friendship. So why is she now texting me the night before this reunion being like, "Hey, I really love you. Let's work it out," but not talk about it on the reunion. And she felt manipulated by it.
It's almost as if someone was trying to manufacture an outcome.
Well, I think that's exactly what Kyle was trying to do.
Yes.
At first, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she really was just reaching out. But then, after you put it all together, she was on the Amazon Live, Dorit and I aren't, really close friends and blah, blah, blah. And they hadn't spoken in months. And I was like, yeah, you know, that is really weird that she would send it the night before. Erica agrees that she would also feel manipulated. And she's like, "I hate all of this." And I can only imagine.
Well, she did. I mean, Erica sat so upright and looked so uncomfortable last night.
We'll get into that.
I said that in my notes. It looked like she had to go number two and the whole night. She had shivers down her arm.
Well, she was in between Dorit and Kyle. Anyway, so they all make their way to the set, except for Dorit, because she's getting her dress sewn. And when she came out, did you catch the look that Kyle gave her? She was like, Kyle gave her such a stink eye. And I'm like, I wonder if Dorit didn't respond to her text that she had sent the night before, and that's why she gave her the stink eye? Or did Dorit say something very Dorit-like back to Kyle, and that's why she was giving her the stink eye? Either way,
Did they slice in another moment where Kyle was looking at something else?
No, and she looked up at while Dorit. Dorit was like, I was like, damn.
It was a look. I think it was probably more just, hey.
Well, she also looked at Anne-Marie later on, too. She did.
She was flashing looks all
night. Yeah, she really was. Yeah. Anyways, so, you know, they say hi to everybody. Andy brings up how Erica said that she wants Kyle to be held to the fire at the reunion because she was held to the fire at the last reunion. Kyle's like, yeah, you know, when I first heard that, it really hurt my feelings. But then I realized that it wasn't personally directed towards me. I really felt like Erica was saying that because she wants everybody to get the same treatment that she has received in the past, and that she really feels like her and Erica are really good friends.
Yeah, when we heard that clip, I thought I heard her say everyone, I didn't hear her single anyone out, did you?
I don't know. I don't know if she said, "I want you to..."
I'm coming after you, Kyle. I didn't hear Kyle's name, at least in the clip. Maybe she said it at a different point.
Yeah, I thought she said everybody. You better hold everybody accountable or something.
Everybody, yeah. And that would include Kyle. But for then someone else to just make it all about Kyle doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Maybe if there was more to the clip. I can't remember. Exactly. I remember seeing it a long time ago, but... Yeah. Anyways, Andy asks Dorit how she feels hearing Kyle describe her friendship with Erica. And she's like, "I actually got stuck on how Kyle felt hurt about the headlines that it hurt her, what Erica said, because it is the same thing as when I saw the headlines of her downplaying our friendship on Amazon Live." Kyle tells her, "You know, I only said that in response to all the things that you had been saying about me all season." So they kind of go back and forth. And this is where you see Erica sitting there kind of like, "Oh, okay," in between them. Kyle essentially says that we really don't have a close friendship like me and Morgan do. But that doesn't mean I love you any less. I really love you, Dorit. And she feels like Dorit was the one who was really bringing up all the attention about Kyle hanging out with Morgan. And I'm like, is she kidding? because literally it was everywhere. All the paparazzis kept taking photos of Morgan and Kyle together. Kyle did the video with her where she was suggesting were lovers.
It was a poor attempt at manipulation.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? You were posting yourself with Morgan all the time. Dorit says, it was all over the media. It wasn't because of what I brought up on camera that got everybody talking. It was already out there. Dorit then tells her, I'm not stupid. We hadn't talked in months. And then you sent me that text and it really made me feel like you were trying to manipulate me. Kyle's like, yeah, it was not meant to be manipulative. And again, poor Erica stuck in the middle.
Looking like she had to take a number two.
She did kind of have like a, I'm going to toot. Yeah. Look on her face.
Like when you have too much coffee.
We now get Garcelle's packet. Andy brings up the tension between Dorit and Garcelle. Dorit tells her that it really hurt her feelings when Garcelle said that she didn't trust the ladies around her kids. Garcelle's like, well, it also hurt me when my friends were laughing at my 14-year-old son being cussed at. I'm like, dang. You're not wrong. Andy brings up how Garcelle called Dorit an unconscious Karen. And what did she mean? Garcelle says, well, it's that she's just so unaware. And her using the word attack seemed so unnecessary. Dorit tells her, well, I don't know all the words that I'm not supposed to use, but you should really look at a person's intentions. Garcelle compares Dorit's robbery to an attack. And she says, in that situation, you had a gun held to your head. So how could you use the same word in reference to me just saying something to you and saying that I attacked you for giving my opinion? Anne Marie chimes in at this point. Or sorry, it's Anna Marie. We learned that.
Yeah, Anna Marie.
Yeah. I always thought it was Anne Marie, but she explained that last night.
Yeah. So I think Garcelle's right on one point. Dorit can be just completely obtuse and just not get it. But I would just say as a style point, you want to keep your characterizations on the professional level and take your emotion out of it. Otherwise, it does, you know, it can degrade your footing, and her footing is legitimate.
Yeah, and I do feel like, though, it can be very frustrating to have to deal with Dorit because she...
Oh, I get it. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Dorit can be an unconscious Karen.
Oh, big time.
But, you know, I wouldn't use that as part of my...
I don't know that it's even unconscious. So, well, because then...
That's tough for me to get behind because I always claim she's unconscious. So I have to... I mean, she's not with it, in my opinion. You know, she's out there. She stands...
But what about when she posts, living in my happy bubble? I mean, that's absolutely her being conscious about what she's saying.
I think that's passive aggressive, sure.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I guess.
But before we get into that, Anne Marie chimes in to defend Dorit at this point and said, you know, when I was in the situation where Sutton accused me of yelling at her about her esophagus, when I wasn't, Dorit was the only one who chimed in and said, she's not yelling at you. Garcelle, you were right there and you didn't say anything. And Garcelle just kind of blows it off. She like doesn't acknowledge 8.5. She's like, whatever.
Yeah, I think Anna Marie, the defense wasn't great. Also felt like a setup, like we're watching a volleyball match. All of a sudden, someone's trying to spike the ball. Yeah, it fell flat, in my opinion.
Yeah. Dorit then brings up how Garcelle said that she lived in a bubble. And Garcelle's like, correct. And then you went online after that aired and said that you're happy living in your little bubble. And Dorit's like, do you really believe that I did that to stick up my middle finger to you? And everyone was like, yeah, that's what it looked like. That's how I took it when I saw that. I was like, I can't believe
we did it. And she did it twice. She stuck both your middle fingers.
I know. And I'm like, you literally just said, I'm trying to learn. I'm going to listen from now on. And then after the episode airs, she goes online and she posts this very passive aggressive post about living in her happy bubble. I was like, what are you doing?
Being passive aggressive.
Yeah. Dorit then asks Garcelle, do you like me? Garcelle's like, kind of. And I'm like, not for a minute do I believe that Garcelle actually likes Dorit. And if it wasn't for this show, Garcelle would have absolutely nothing to do with her.
No.
I mean, nothing.
Nothing.
Then Dorit asks her, do you want to work on our friendship? And I think she said, like, maybe or something. And I was like...
I think she said no or something.
No.
It was pretty much a no.
She said maybe, I thought. I mean, yeah, it was a very, maybe.
I didn't see a lot of effort going into it.
No. Garcelle's like, bitch, I am done with you.
Yeah. I mean, just to compare the two, Garcelle is a award-winning actress. Dorit takes photos of herself on the balcony. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Yeah. Andy then reads a question from someone about Crystal saying that Dorit hasn't seen a real body part in 10 years. What is your response? He asks to Dorit. Dorit's like, other than my boobs, what on me is fake?
Your nose, your eyes, like,
your cheek, your whole face?
The Botox?
Yeah, I'm like, missing crow's feet. Have you ever seen a photo of yourself beforehand? Because we have. It's going around the internet.
Yep.
I was like, wow, Dorit. Yeah. Crystal tells her, I was just being funny and accurate.
Yeah. And honest.
Yeah, exactly. We now get 8.5's packet. Andy asks the ladies if they're surprised that 8.5 is happy with her rating. They all say yes. 8.5 says, well, my husband and I are best friends, so we can joke about stuff like that. And who cares? We also find out that her mother had just passed, which understandably upsets her. I feel terrible for her. Apparently, her mom was dying of a tumor the whole time they were filming.
This really kind of bothered me once again with Andy and how he runs these.
Yeah, he was really pressing her. Tell us more. Tell us more. And she was
so crying. He starts out with this, let's have a tender moment with Anna Marie. And so they talk about her dying mom. And we're like, wow, she went through all that.
While filming.
Literally, as she's drying her eyes, he goes, release the hounds.
Yeah, he reads another question.
And then he just goes right after her. And I'm like, that's terrible. I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
I wouldn't like it being done to me. I thought it was awkward. Andy generally does better than that.
Yeah, because he's like, tell us about your mom. Tell us about your mom. All right, well, let's lighten the whatever.
And it wasn't. It's let's attack you. Now that we've made you cry.
Well, he read somebody's question.
Right. He knew what the question was. Yeah. And I think she did great, by the way. And I think she went literally, she's like, all right, let's go. And she did fine. So honestly, I liken her a little more even than
really?
I did in the last episode. I know. You're never going to forgive her. But I'm going to say I hope she comes back next season. Since they're going to can Monica anyways, Miles will bring back Anna Marie.
The two are not related.
No, but they do make it interesting. I miss you, Monica. I know we're never going to see
her. We bring her up every recap we do.
Well, we're never going to see her again.
We're going to see her again. You can follow her on Instagram. She's all over.
I'm out. No.
Anyway, somebody writes in a question or a comment. Andy reads it about Anne-Marie being opinionated for a newbie, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Andy then asks Anne-Marie how she met Crystal. And she says that she met Crystal before the show started or before she was on the show. And she was really awesome. But once they started filming it, everything changed. Andy then asks about the misunderstanding of Crystal saying that Anne-Marie said she was a doctor and wondered if it was like a mistake. Crystal's like, no, I know what an anesthesiologist is because my half-sister is an anesthesiologist, so I know the difference. Anne-Marie tells us that when she first met Crystal, Crystal told her she was a housewife. Crystal interrupts and says, I never said that. I would never be walking around saying, I'm a housewife. She says that Anne-Marie is a proven liar, and did you not insinuate that I said that Sutton had an eating disorder twice? Anne-Marie then tells Crystal she's not going to yell, and then Andy asks her, what is the big deal about mixing up an anesthesiologist versus an aesthetician? How do you say that stupid word again?
I don't know.
Anyways, whatever that word is. And she explains that there's a lot of political turmoil that goes on between the two groups. And honestly,
and apparently that allows you to blur the lines and call yourself a doctor at a party. I get it. Right? That makes sense. Oh, I didn't understand that there was political conflict between two organizations. I can see why, by the way. The doctors who went to school and became doctors
are
mad at the group that are saying they're doctors. That would cause strife too.
Well, I think it's more that the nurses are doing the same things as the doctors, but they don't get paid as much. I believe that is what the thing is between them. I'm not quite sure, but honestly, I don't.
I didn't hear the thing. Like, if she said I'm basically an anesthesiologist, then I would lean to go with Anna Marie. If she said I am in fact an anesthesiologist, then I would be with Crystal. But I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, we weren't there. So honestly, I also just don't
Someone's
care.
Being pedantic, though, for sure.
Yeah. Andy then asks Anne-Marie why Sutton's esophagus story bothered her so much. And she says that the way it was presented to her was really odd. And at this
Kyle.
Point, yeah, Kyle whips her head over and looks at her. And I was like, oh, look at that. Kyle's a little worried that Anne Marie's about to throw her under the bus.
And now you know I want to see Anna Marie next year because Anna Marie has a big fat silver bullet set with Kyle.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Kyle set Anna Marie up as just basically like a puppet. So, hey, let me give you some bad data. Then you can come in hot and just start going after it.
Start gunning for Sutton.
Start gunning for Sutton.
Yeah. I mean, the way Kyle was giving her the stare down, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was very much of a, you better not say anything.
Yeah. Anne Marie apologizes to Sutton. She says, once I saw how I was acting.
I'm sorry, Anna Marie.
Anna Marie, sorry. Anna Marie then apologizes to her for her behavior. And she said, after I watched it this season, I was horrified by my behavior. Sutton tells her, well, it wasn't really the esophagus thing that bothered me. It was more that you were going behind my back and talking about it, saying that I was using this ailment to hide my eating disorder.
I can only imagine what, and I'm not a big fan of old Marcellus, but when they sat down and watched that together and put the kids down and they were like, all right, let's watch a show. Their jaws dropped, both of them, because they were like, oh, this is how it looks, right? I'm sure, you know, there was editing and whatever. And so what her perception of what she was going to see versus what they saw was probably very, very different. And she learned a lot. Oh, what is that?
That's such why did esophagus. You do?
Oh, I did not think that's what that was.
I know. So Sutton posted on her Instagram story last night a photo of her esophagus.
I'm going to say a dirty word. That kind of looked like a vajayjay.
It does. When I was talking to somebody on Instagram last night, talking about the reunion and how we thought it sucked. And he sent me that. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? He's like, it's Sutton's esophagus. I was like, oh, that's so gross.
It's a real eye opener.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, that sucks, Sutton. I'm sorry going through that now that I've seen it. Thank you for sharing.
I'm so gross. During the break, Kyle tells them that Crystal ran into Lisa Vanderpump. And Lisa Vanderpump asked her who she was, and Crystal told her that she was on the show. And then Lisa asked if Kyle was still on the show, which, I mean, come on. We all know that Lisa, if she's not watching the show, she at least keeps up with what goes on the show.
Her many interns are, yeah.
I mean, come on. The fact that she, oh, is Kyle still on the show? Even Andy was like, what? Come on.
Kyle's like in the center.
I know. We now get Crystal's packet. Andy asks her, what pushed you to call Anne Marie a bitch at the Homeless Not Toothless event? Crystal tells him it was actually about an eating disorder and Anna Marie saying that I said Sutton had one. And that is the one thing that she would never say about anybody because she has one and she deals with it daily, if not hourly, I believe she said. Anna Marie says, you know, there was a lot more to that conversation. Crystal's like, are you ever going to apologize to me for saying that I said Sutton had an eating disorder when I didn't say it? Anne Marie looks at Sutton and says, Sutton, neither I or Crystal said you had an eating disorder, and neither of us think you have one. And Sutton's like, thank you. Andy asks about Anne Marie saying that Crystal called all the women uneducated and how Crystal denied it. What did you guys make of her interview tape when she said that none of the women were educated in this interview tape? And I think they showed a clip of it, didn't they?
They did.
She's like, you know, when people ask me about the show, I tell them that we have dumb conversations all the time. I was like, all right, Crystal. I guess, yeah, that's what you said. Anne Marie interjects and says, Crystal, you're lying. And then brings up how Crystal had called Sutton racist at one point, and then how she backtracked it and said, oh, it was just a feeling I had. I made it up. Then Anne Marie's like, I don't want to be a part of your system of lies. And Crystal claps back in the best way and says, you're not a part of it, so don't worry. I was like, yes, Crystal, where have you been?
Yeah, Crystal, she rose to the occasion. Yeah, I mean, everyone likes Crystal, and I like her too. We need more of that, for sure.
Andy then asks Dorit why she was so offended by the slight on her education. And in typical Dorit fashion, she stupidly replies, I think I'm the only one here with a college degree. As she's sitting next to a medical professional who had to go to extensive schooling for her profession. Not to mention Crystal and Sutton both have college degrees, so I don't know why she made that point.
No, but it does provide context into where she's coming from just about every time she pisses off Garcelle, and it's a place of ignorance.
Oh, big time. Garcelle then makes a good point. She's like, you know, you can still be smart and not have a college degree. And I was like, that is a great point. And you can also have a college degree and not be smart. So.
Yep. Well, yeah, you can be educated and certainly not, you know, have wisdom and stuff like that. Right? You're great at taking tests and walking across the stage.
Look at Dorit. Dorit is definitely ignorant.
Okay. I didn't want to say her name. I was just describing her achievement.
Crystal doubles down and says, I'm going to stand by my uneducated comment strictly on the fact that Dorit called me a child bride. Dorit responds by saying, you know, they call Priscilla Presley a child bride. Crystal's like, yeah, but I'm Asian.
Wasn't she like 14 when they got married?
I thought they got married when she was 14, but she was actually 21. She was 14 when they met and they started dating. That's still gross.
Well, how old was he?
He was older, like by a lot.
Like 15?
No, he was 24.
Ooh. That's the age of boyfriend that we beat up privately.
Or get arrested.
And then we give him a ride in our trunk.
With a shovel.
All right, back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Garcelle then mumbles, see what I'm talking about, to Crystal. Crystal breaks it all down to Dorit and says, you are implying that I was a mail order bride. And Dorit's like, oh, I didn't know that. That's not what I was insinuating. I was like, oh my God. Crystal's like, I was 24 when I got married, after I had finished college and I built a company worth over $1 million. And this pretty much shuts Dorit down. And she's like, wow, amazing. Dorit, how much is your Beverly Beach made? I bet it's not even close to $1 million, if it's even in business anymore.
I think there's a negative in front of her earnings. Yeah.
Or what about your wedding dresses? How much is that made?
Maybe she's selling photos of her standing on a balcony.
We're now off to Kyle's packet. Andy asks Kyle where she is in the grieving process over Lorraine's death. And she's like, well, some days I just have to block it out because it's too painful. And other days I just can't get off the couch. Andy brings up the growing distance that has formed between Kyle and Dorit and feels that it started last year at the reunion when Dorit stood up for Kathy.
You know, and I was really upset that we didn't get to see Monster last night.
She's not coming out until part three. I saw it in the description. Unfair.
She should literally be on the couch every episode.
No. No. She doesn't need to be on the show. She wasn't on the season. I don't even know why she's coming.
Because we always want a little Monster.
No, I don't. Dorit tells Kyle that she wants nothing more than for her and Kathy to mend their relationship and that she herself has an independent relationship with Kathy and that she didn't want to get into the middle of it. Kyle's like, you don't even really know Kathy that well. And you and I were closer. And the conversations that we were having made me feel like you were disappointed with Kathy's behavior. Dorit tells her, only when you told me stories about her from the past that I don't want to bring up here. Which I would love to know what those stories are.
But didn't she text her to like not bring up a bunch of stories right before the reunion?
I don't know that she said stories about Kathy. She just said she didn't want to discuss the problem going on between them on the reunion.
Mm.
But maybe that was like a little part of it. I don't know. But Kyle tells her, you know, I'm not going to get into it because it's my family. And I'm like, yeah, that and because you don't want Dorit to spill the beans about anything. So she kind of shuts it down.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. Kyle then tells Dorit that she feels like last year, Dorit just went along with whatever the opinion the audience was pushing. And then she brings up how at BravoCon, somebody got up and made a comment about Teddy. And they showed the clip and the guy was like, can you stop trying to make Teddy happen or something along those lines?
You know, and that's not fair really to Dorit, right? She doesn't just follow the audience. She'll follow anyone's opinion. I don't think that's one of Dorit's problems is she generally doesn't seem to have an opinion of her own.
I don't know. I think she has a lot of stupid opinions that are strictly her
own. Wow. Good grief. I thought you were going to stand up for her. Oh, wow.
No, I don't. I think Dorit's kind of dumb.
No. Okay. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, I don't think she's dumb. I think she is easily manipulated. And certainly the audience is going to manipulate her. She sees that as her livelihood, especially if PK's leaving her.
I don't know. So I guess Kyle was mad because at BravoCon, after this person got up and said that about Teddy, we see Erica and Anna Marie, both speak on Teddy's behalf and were like, I really like her. She's actually really cool. And Kyle's mad because Dorit didn't say anything.
I like Teddy a lot. I've always liked Teddy.
Oh my gosh.
I know you don't. You find her boring.
I believe.
And I love her dad. I'm sorry. Her dad can do no wrong. I love his music.
Well, that has nothing to do with Teddy other than she is his daughter.
No, I just felt it was an opportunity to talk about John. I love his music.
Dorit tells Kyle, I didn't want to indulge this individual. I just wanted him to go sit back down. And now you're upset with me for not defending another friend of yours. Kyle tells her, I feel like you cared more about what the audience thought than you did about Teddy. And then that's how this part one ends. Next week in part two, it looks like Garcelle questions Dorit's robbery and thinks it's weird that a robber would leave the phone by the gate. And then we also see clips of Sutton and Kyle going back and forth. So yeah. I'm hoping part two is going to be a little bit more interesting. Obviously, they're going to save all the Kyle and Mauricio stuff for part three. And that's when Kathy comes out. Oh, maybe Kathy's coming in some sort of support.
Like maybe... For Mauricio?
No, she hates Mauricio. No, in support of
But wouldn't Kyle. That be a twist?
That would be a big twist.
Took Mo's side.
Yeah. Anyways, that is all we have for you guys today. We will be back next week with part two of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. So we will talk to you then. Bye.
Happy leap year.
You dork.